Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead an adult Bible study group using Explore the Bible adult resources. Today, we will answer three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? We'll explore the historical and cultural backdrop to understand its significance. Second, what do we find in the passage? We'll highlight the main themes and insights that emerge. And finally, what's one thing leaders should not miss this week in the leader resources? We'll share a crucial takeaway to enhance your Bible study discussion. I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Mike Livingston. Mike serves on our Explore the Bible team as a content editor for both the Personal Study Guide and the Daily Discipleship Guide. He creates the prayer guide each quarter, so he adds a lot to our resources. Mike also leads a Bible study group at his church, so he brings both insight and experience to our discussion today. Mike, thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm honored and grateful to be on the podcast again.
Well, we always appreciate it.
Sure.
Today, we are launching into a whole new quarter, but really, it's an extension of our winter study of Matthew's gospel. We just concluded the first half, so Matthew 1 through 13, and today we're launching into Matthew 14 through 28. So this is the second half of the gospel, and it's been a good study so far. We're discussing session one today. So we'll examine Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Well, first, let's talk about context. In verses 13 through 21 of chapter 14, Jesus had learned of John the Baptist's death and had withdrawn to a remote place. Still, crowds followed him until one evening he performed his miracle of feeding the 5,000. With just five loaves and two fishes. And if you recall the story, you know that after everyone had eaten, 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered. This took place in Galilee, and from there, we reach our focus passage today. Well, let's take a look at the first scripture division in our study, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 27. After feeding the multitudes, Jesus sent his disciples off in a boat while he went up into a mountain to pray. And during the night, the boat was caught in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus approached his disciples walking on the water. Well, Mike, this is a great passage. What truths or insights do we find in these verses?
Yeah, so probably most of our listeners know that there are two different storms recorded involving Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And this is the second one. The first one was back in chapter 8. That's the one where Jesus was asleep in the boat during the storm, and the disciples say, "Wake up, we're going to die." All right. So both of these accounts, that first one and this one in chapter 14, emphasize the wind and the waves. These were wind events. So here in verse 24 of this account, it says that the boat was being, and you could translate that word tormented. It was the boat was being tormented by the waves. And those who have studied the topography of the Sea of Galilee tell us why the storms on this lake can be sudden and unpredictable and sometimes violent. It's because the lake is 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains, some as high as 2,000 feet above sea level. So when you have that cold air coming off the mountain and colliding with the warm air from the lake below, you've got the optimal setup for some really turbulent weather, some turbulent winds. I've actually seen a news report about an extreme case in back in 1992 of waves 10 feet high crashing into the city of Tiberias. So it, in the first account, the first storm back in chapter 8, the disciples, who we have to remember, they were seasoned fishermen. So in that storm, they're actually afraid that they're going to die because the storm is so violent. This time, what they're terrified by is this figure walking toward them on the water, thinking that he's a ghost. And the word ghost, the translated ghost there, is the word from which we get phantom. And I think the thing that's not to be missed, that we can't miss in this, is Jesus's statement to them in that situation. He said to them, "Have courage, it is I." Okay, that right there, which is literally, "I am, I am." The same phrase as in John 8:58, when Jesus said, "I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." And we can't help make this connection, right, between this and the divine name that God gave to Moses in Exodus 3. I think this is intentional. I think it's purposeful. I think Jesus saying, "I am," together with him walking on the water and calming the storm, and these are things that only God can do. In Job 9:8, it says, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." So all of this points to his identity. It points not just to what he can do, but to who he is. And so the disciples experienced in Jesus the person and the presence of God in the midst of the storm. So Jesus is one who not only stills the storms, but he uses the storms to give greater revelation of himself. And it's often in the middle of the storm that the presence of Christ becomes all the more real to us. And I know that many of our listeners know exactly what I mean by that.
That's a great point. And I think in some of our a past episode of the podcast, we talked about Matthew's gospel being very intentional about explaining or revealing Jesus's identity, and to help, of course, the disciples, they were there in the moment. We can't really fault them. It's easy for us to look back and read it and go, yes, clearly he's talking about his divinity. But yeah, this is another great example of that. Well, let's keep going. The next set of verses are Matthew 14, verses 22. Nope, I'm sorry. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30. So Peter in the boat asked Jesus if he could leave the boat and walk on the water with him. Jesus invited him to walk on the water, and as Peter began moving toward Jesus, the wind and waves caused fear. As his faith wavered, Peter started to sink and cried out to the Lord for help. So these verses, they teach us a lot. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water, and we tend to focus on what comes next, the part where he, begins to sink. But I think we don't want to miss just this little brief part of the story where he asked Jesus if he would command him to walk on the water. Jesus did, and then Peter did just that. He walked on the water. But then obviously the scene shifts, and in the leader guide commentary for verse 30, I thought it was so good. We learned this, and this is taken from the verse 30 commentary. Shifting his focus from Jesus to his dire circumstances caused Peter to be afraid. And once his fears overcame his faith, the disciple began to sink. In verse 27, Jesus had told the disciples not to fear, but now Peter panicked because he focused on the circumstances. Once he began to sink, he was living up to his name, the stone or the rock. He was sinking like one. So Peter's focus just I don't know anyone who wouldn't have responded by noticing the wind and the waves. Peter's focus moved from Jesus to the storm and the water and all of the events that were taking place around him. And we see that that really caused him to sink. But this passage really highlights the importance of keeping our focus on Jesus, especially when we're in those difficult circumstances and not allowing them to not allowing the circumstances to weaken our faith or undermine our faith. Now, I think that's easier said than done. It's certainly not easy, but this is a great example of the value of where we place our focus, because it can keep us grounded in trust and faith, or it can allow us to get really fearful or even just worried. It may not even be all the way to fear. It may just be worry, but even that can undermine our faith. So we don't want to do that. want to keep our focus on the Lord. Okay, the next passage is verses 31 through 33. Jesus caught Peter and brought him back to the boat with the others, and he questioned Peter's doubts. And as soon as Jesus entered the boat, the storm stopped, causing the disciples to worship him as the Son of God. Well, Mike, talk to us about these verses. What do you see here that would be really helpful to talk about in our Bible study groups this weekend?
Yeah, this is the first time in Matthew that the disciples address Jesus in this way, as the Son of God. It's the first time that we've seen the Father call Jesus my beloved Son at his baptism. We've seen demons call Jesus the Son of God, but this is the first time the disciples identify him in this way. And like I said a minute ago, you've got these two different storms in Matthew. And the first time that Jesus calmed the storm, their reaction at the end of that account was, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What kind of man is this?" They marveled at his authority that he could command the waves. This time, you see something a little bit different, though, don't you? That they acknowledged him as the Son of God and they worshipped him. And in the Gospels, we see this gradual process by which the disciples came to understand more fully who Jesus is. Like early on in his ministry, they followed him as rabbi, as prophet, as miracle worker. But it's through his miracles, through his teachings, through time spent with him, their understanding of him deepens gradually. Deepens. And so, but it doesn't mean that at this point they have a complete understanding of who he is, because there are still times after this in Matthew where Jesus scolds them for their lack of understanding, but that understanding is dawning of who he is. And so they're conscious of the fact that they are in the presence of God here, because they've seen him do what only God can do, and they worship him. And I think it was after the resurrection, we could say that the realization, full realization of who he was, took root. When Thomas put his hands in Jesus' wounds and worshiped him and said, "My Lord and my God." So while salvation is instantaneous, right? So the moment a person confesses faith in Christ, conversion happens immediately, and that at that moment the person is justified before God and forgiven and reborn spiritually. But the path leading to saving faith can be a process, just as growing in faith as believers after conversion is also a process. It's a process of growth. But there's one other, I mentioned one other takeaway related to that is we see in their reaction there the relationship between faith and or belief and worship. They recognized him as the Son of God, and therefore they worshiped him. Once you recognize who Jesus is, you realize he is to be worshiped. So if we are somehow indifferent about worship, then we need a fresh vision of who Jesus is.
That's really good. I do want to, you mentioned the other passage, the earlier passage in Matthew 8, 23 through 27, where another storm occurred. And I wanted to just point out to our leaders, there is a Bible skill, and it's printed in both the personal study guide and the leader guide. And it leads, the exercise of that Bible skill is to examine both of these passages out on the water and kind of look at similarities and differences. It's just another skill that, I'm sorry, it's just another exercise that will help your group members grow in their Bible study skills, like how to be a better student of God's word. And so if you were thinking, that's a great passage, well, there's a spot in the leader guide and in the personal study guide that walks through a brief little exercise that helps your group members to look at both passages and learn from them. So I just wanted to throw that in. That's just for free. Well, each week on the podcast, we highlight something that we think group leaders should not miss in the leader resources, something that we consider to be a valuable tool that could boost your discussion and really be an asset to your teaching time. And so this week, I do want to just bring some attention and highlight the opening question. It's found on page 9 of the personal study guide. It's also printed in the teaching plan. And the question is this: what do you consider to be your biggest fears? So I think this question can do a lot of good for your discussion this week. First, you can ask it, ask the adults in your group to begin or to introduce really the topic of fears. And I think it can, a good discussion here can go a long way in your Bible study. It will bring some engagement to it. It will also help by the end of your study today, it will help them to see how God's word applies to things that we go through every single day. Now, I will say this question might be one that would be a little, some people might hesitate to answer out loud in front of a group of people. What do you consider to be your biggest fears? It might be a little bit of a question they might not want to answer. And so for this one, I would just suggest you can always ask the adults in your group just to turn to someone next to them, or, you know, two or three people, like just pairs or triads, to answer and give them a minute to talk in their smaller groups. So sharing in front of one other person or maybe two could take away some of the take away any concerns that people might not want to share that in front of everybody. And then after you've given them time to answer and discuss, then you can, in the larger group, you can ask for volunteers. You don't have to put anyone on the spot, but you can ask for volunteers to share something that they heard, which could be something they shared or could be something that they heard someone say. And then you would be able to have that discussion with your group. But I think it would just be a really strong way to begin this Bible study. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us on the podcast today to talk about this initial session.
Of course. Of course. Thank you.
Next week, we will be back with session 2. It'll be a study of Matthew 15, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. Bob Bunn will be joining us for that discussion, and we hope you'll join us.